Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Galatians 6:8. Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 61. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, 1. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Psalm 48. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your heart is in my heart. Psalm 48. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139, 17, 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139, 17, 18. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. We spend a moment now in prayer before we begin our Bible study. Father, we are thankful that you have blessed us again this day, and we're privileged to be here. We have opportunity now to focus our minds upon that which is eternal. All of us live in the present time, and we live from day to day. We give thought and consideration to the things that will be taking place in our lives in coming days, the coming days of this week and so forth. But we realize that we need to give time to those things which are eternal. And so we pray that in these moments we're studying today, that we'll be able to think beyond tomorrow or today or even the coming days. But we'll think in terms of our relationship to our Savior, who has given us everything we need for joy, peace, and contentment while we're here and throughout eternity. We're thankful indeed for your great blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 is now on the screen for you to see. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let me see where I am here. Are we coming through okay? You have this in your bulletin today. I trust it. Is it okay? Very good. If you'll notice on the back of your bulletin, you have the German translation, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism. And you will see on the screen that we have Eis Kyrios, Mia Pistis, and In Baptisma. Those are the words, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism. When I think in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end and everything in between. So he's described in the scripture as the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. I put down here for you to see that that means that Christ as the Alpha and the Omega is a reference to his eternal existence. Christ, reference to his eternal existence. The reason I say that is because I want you to see that even though Jesus Christ came on the scene in the flesh as the God-man, when Jesus Christ was born physically and became the God-man, that was not the beginning of Christ. We find an emphasis on Christ in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. So I want you to be able to see that the information I prepared shows how much throughout the entire Bible Christ is presented. This is known as a theophany. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ before the resurrection. A Christophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. You've heard this before, but I want you to think about it. I want you to realize that when Jesus Christ was born and became the God in the flesh on the earth, that was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. And so he's the Alpha and the Omega, which is a reference to his eternal existence. Secondly, on the screen, you see reference to the atonement for man's sin. This takes us all the way back to Genesis 3:15, where we have an emphasis upon the first presentation in the Bible on salvation through Christ. Those are things we need to know. So when you have the expression, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, that is a reference to his eternal existence, but it's also a reference to the atonement for our sins. You'll notice on the screen number 3, Alpha and Omega is a reference to the Word of God. I trust you're putting this down. It's important to do that. Number 4, when you have Alpha and Omega, it's a reference to faith. The Word of God emphasizes the fact that we have salvation as a result of believing. And the word believe is a beautiful word. The noun is pistis, and the verb is pistuo. Let me talk about that again, even though I've said it a number of times over the last 40 some odd years. Pistis is the noun faith, which means to believe. But when you take that noun and put it into a verb, pistuo, it's an action word, and it is translated, I believe or I faith it. So when you have an emphasis on the Alpha and the Omega, it's a reference to faith. Number 5, it's a reference to the resurrection of the dead. In Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul telling us so beautifully that when our loved ones pass away as believers, there's going to come a time when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us which remain and are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I have not quoted that passage entirely. I just wanted you to see that you and I have loved ones who passed away, believing loved ones. And some of them perhaps have been cremated. Some of them, the bodies have been placed in a grave somewhere. The scripture says the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then he goes on to say, and those of us which remain and are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's a reference then, when Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, it's a reference to the resurrection of the dead. Number six, his titles mark the opening words and his blessings closes his words. Christ Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The word I'm Alpha and Omega is also an expression for the final judgment. I want to spend a few moments now not going through all of these magnificent pages of information, but just giving you a few. The scripture says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. This is one of the most intriguing things Christ ever said. Of course, the idiom of so using the first, the last letters of the alphabet is perhaps as old as language itself. A similar use was made of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We have the word Aleph and Tav, as when Abraham was said to have kept the law from Aleph to Tav. And when you go to Psalm 119, it's written on the pattern of the same alphabet, from Aleph to Tav. Are you familiar with that? Psalm 119? It has continuation of the Hebrew letters from Alpha to Tav. Colonial literature in America had the expression, one still hears now and then, from A to Izzard. Have you ever heard that expression? Of course, being the old man for Z. Christ, number one, is the Alpha and the Omega. With reference to his eternal existence, which we've already pointed out, he said before Abraham was, I am. That's in John 8:58. Notice, before Abraham was, I am. This is telling us that Christ is before all things. Colossians 1:17, and was in the beginning. John 1:1, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to go slowly because that's what I should be doing. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega with reference to his eternal existence. Number two, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega with reference to the atonement for man's sins. The sin of Abel, the sin of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of all the pre-Christian world, their sins, no less than ours, are forgiven only through the blood of Christ. There's such a misunderstanding on the emphasis of the blood of Christ. So many come to the conclusion that the way we present it diminishes the value of the blood. In my opinion, the way we present it is an emphasis upon the magnification of the blood. And so many people misunderstand. The sins of Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of all the pre-Christian world, no less than ours, are forgiven only through the blood of Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega concerning human redemption. Could I pause for a moment to tell you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there's no question about the fact that he suffered something that you and I could never imagine. Crown of thorns placed on his head, nails in hands and feet, excruciating pain. I realize that I would not for one moment minimize his human suffering, because I don't want you to misunderstand me. But I want you to understand me, and that is, that during those dark hours, when he was bearing the sins of the world, there's the proper emphasis upon the blood of Christ. And there's where we ought to place emphasis. To realize what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's so deep and so magnificent and so wonderful that if we take our eyes off of that and put it somewhere else, we minimize the work of Jesus Christ. And we magnify things that are not the major things. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. He is the Alpha and the Omega with reference to the atonement for our sins. Number three, he's the Alpha and the Omega with reference to the Word of God. He was the first to declare fully God's word to the people. In a very real sense, Jesus was God's first complete word to men. Are you familiar with the fact that the scripture emphasizes that the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God? We're all familiar with that, aren't we? But if you go down to verse 14 of that chapter, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. My conversation with you at this moment is that I'm using words. The words that I'm using, I'm seeking to communicate my thinking, thoughts, into your brain so that you could have these thoughts. In other words, the word word means a means of communication. And Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see? Then when you get to verse 14 of John, it says, John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Alpha and the Omega with reference to the Word of God. He was the first to declare fully God's word to the people. In a very real sense, then, Jesus was God's first complete word to mankind. Jesus was God's first word of communication to mankind. But if the word in Jesus is first, it is also last. Because he said, I'm Alpha, beginning, and I'm Omega, the end. The same shall judge him, man, in the last day. In John chapter 12, verse 48. I told myself, leave your office, go to the people whom you love so dearly, and just take your time and love them with the word. And that's what I'm trying to do now. Do you sense it? Number four, he's the Alpha and the Omega of the Christian life, the Christian faith. As the writer of the book of Hebrews said, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Regardless, we are here regarding the personal redemption of every individual. And the Bible reveals that Jesus is the all in all, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Do you realize that as I'm speaking to a group of people in this auditorium, I'm aware of the fact that they're individuals. You're not here as just one mass group. You're here as individuals. We're persons. We're privately individuals. You see what I'm saying? So the scripture reveals that when Jesus Christ agreed, in essence, to become the deity too in the flesh, he was saying, in essence, to the Father, because here we have deity 1, 2, and 3, all of these have the same attributes and same characteristics. He was saying to the Father, I'm concerned for every individual. Which means he's concerned for every person today in this auditorium. He's the Alpha and Omega as regard to, number five, the resurrection of each one of us. Paul wrote the Colossians that Christ was the firstborn from the dead, which does not mean that his was the first resurrection of a mortal, but that Christ was the first to be raised from the dead. And then the scripture goes on to say, upon whom death would have no further power. What we know is Lazarus and others were raised. They were individuals who were raised, but they died again. They were not resurrected, they were resuscitated. Do you get the difference? Resuscitation means that a person is brought back to life and then they die. If a person is brought back to life in resurrection, they never die. That's the end of dying. So you and I must realize that we've been born into God's kingdom, and one of these days we're going to be the recipients of a resurrection body, and that will not be resuscitation, that will be resurrection. Resuscitation means if you're brought to life, you'll die again. Resurrection means when you're brought to life, eternal life, you'll be continually resurrected. Number six on the screen. He's the Alpha and the Omega in the New Testament. His name is the first verse and in the last. His titles mark the opening words, and the blessings closes the sacred canon of the New Testament. Number seven. He's the Alpha and the Omega in the final judgment. If you were listening carefully, when we first started this service, I put these major things on the screen for you to see. And now I'm in the process of reiterating. He's the Alpha and the Omega in the final judgment. The eternal judgment shall begin with the body of Christ, the church, as indicated in 1 Peter 4:17. And the final word of it shall be pronounced by the Son of God, because the Father hath committed judgment to the Son, John 5:27, and Christ will be the Alpha and the Omega in the eternal judgment. We're concerned about our children receiving God's word that will saturate their minds and souls. We're concerned about this. And we're concerned about our wonderful teachers continuing to communicate, and they're doing such a wonderful job. We're concerned about all the parents of our congregation. We do not know what you do on a daily basis in your home. Some of you, I'm sure, have Bible classes or Bible lessons for your children every day. That's wonderful. We thank you. We're not trying to interfere or interrupt anything. We're trying to let you see that we have information that will help you tremendously. If you need additional help, you can get next Sunday when we meet with all of our church family. We want all the parents to be there because we want you to hear what has happened over these last many, many years. The Lord has blessed our church in preparation of literature, information, biblical information, for all ages, and we want you to see what we have that has been used by some, but not used by everyone. And we have filing cabinets of information, and Martin and others will be sharing this with you, teachers today, and then with everyone in our church family next Sunday. The filing cabinets will be moved out, and the information will be shared with you, so that you will leave next Sunday as parents and you will leave today as teachers just with a greater appreciation for what the Lord has done over the years for us. This has been so fantastic. We've had 40 some odd years, actually more than that. We've had about 50 years of preparation of literature for children and adults that so much of it has been given, in essence, in some ways. We're aware of the fact that children can learn so much in these classes that when they get to teenage area, they can identify more clearly with the information that's given from the pulpit. And so that's why we're trying to help everyone see. What we're trying to do here is to lay a foundation so that the children will be so versed in the Word of God. Now, I've said all that to tell you that the teachers and potential teachers, if you will do me a favor, just get up and go to the fellowship hall. I'm going to wait, and then we're going to have prayer after you're gone. Bye. The rest of you stay, but if you're a teacher or a potential teacher, just get up and go, and we're going to have prayer here in just a few moments. Thank you, good teachers, good workers. Thank you so very much. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for today and the privilege of which is ours to study your word. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to come to this earth and go to the cross to bear our sins. We do not know, but there may be someone hearing this voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ. They could do it now because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thankful, so thankful that you bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.